If you'd go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalm 119. As Wade said tonight, we're going to look together at verses 17 through 24, which is found on page 607 in the Pew and Chair Bibles. As you're turning there, what do you think of when you hear the word treasure? If you're like me, maybe the word treasure takes you back to your childhood. It seems like there were many books, movies, TV shows, and even cartoons when I was growing up about people finding treasure or searching for treasure, specifically hidden or buried treasure. As you think about the word treasure, maybe you are picturing an image in your mind of a treasure chest full of gold, jewels, and fine precious stones. Maybe you remember a particular story from your childhood about someone finding treasure. When I think back, it seems that many of those stories in the shows and movies, or even the cartoons, often the characters search for the treasure, but they rarely ever found that treasure that they were looking for. Though the characters rarely ever found that treasure in those stories, it was still fun to read those stories or to watch those shows. As we interacted with those stories in our childhood, they may have caused us to dream about finding treasure. Even as adults, we can still go down that rabbit hole from time to time and think about what would we do if we came into a large sum of money. So briefly imagine for a moment what you would do tonight if you found hidden or buried treasure that was worth $50 million. What's the first thing that you would do? You might call your boss and tell him or her that you won't be at work in the morning. You might dream of things that you would do with that money. You might be thinking about the trips you would take, traveling around the world and seeing all the sights that you have only dreamed of seeing. You might think about the house that you would build or the cars that you would buy. You could even think about the good things that you would do with that money. How would you use it to help people and bless those around you? And you could even think about how you'd use that money to give to build a church building on Chad Colley Boulevard. So before this little exercise takes an unhealthy turn and we start coveting money and possessions, let's quickly get our heads out of the clouds and focus again on the reason that we are here tonight. As great as it would be to find treasure worth $50 million, let us be reminded that we have a greater treasure worth far more than that in God's Word. So let's read together in Psalm 119, verses 17 through 24. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones, who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delights. They are my counselors. As I began studying and meditating on this passage, two words came to mind. Now, you can probably guess that first word that came to mind was the word treasure. And the second word that came to my mind is the word delight. These two words could come to mind in reading and studying several of the 22 stanzas of Psalm 119. But tonight, we are going to look and think about the words treasure and delight in light of this passage that we just read in Psalm 119, 17 through 24. Which brings us to our two main points. Main point number one, we should treasure God's word as a servant and a sojourner. We should treasure God's word as a servant and a sojourner. This is found in verses 17 through 19. Main point number two, we should delight in God's word at all times, no matter the circumstance. We should delight in God's word at all times, no matter the circumstance. This is found in verses 20 through 24. As we dive in together and go deeper into our passage tonight, let us first consider our main point number one. We should treasure God's word as a servant and a sojourner. As we look deeper at this point, we will look at three subpoints in the form of three questions and answers. Before we get to our first subpoint, let's look again at verse 17. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. In this verse, the psalmist is referring to himself as the Lord's servant. What does it mean to be a servant? A servant is one who humbly submits to his or her master. The word servant appears over 900 times in the Bible. One Old Testament example of someone referring to himself as the Lord's servant is found in 1 Samuel 3. Remember that Samuel's mother, Hannah, was barren, and she made a vow to the Lord that if the Lord would give her a son, she would give her son back to the Lord. So while Samuel was growing up, he lived in the temple with Eli the priest. Eli was lying down in his place, and Samuel was lying down in the temple. The Lord called Samuel three times. Each time, Samuel thought it was Eli calling him. So he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Eli responds the first two times by telling Samuel that he didn't call him and to go lie down again. After the second time, 1 Samuel 3:7 tells us, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time the Lord called Samuel, Samuel went to Eli again, and Eli then perceived that the Lord had called him and told him that he shall go and lie down, and if the Lord calls him, he shall say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So on the fourth time, Samuel responded, "Speak, for your servant hears." The Lord spoke to Samuel and revealed to him what would be fulfilled against Eli and Eli's house. This was the Lord's first word to Samuel as a prophet. Samuel responded humbly to the Lord. And in 1 Samuel 3:19, it says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him." Another example of someone referring to themselves as the Lord's servant can be found at the beginning of many of the epistles. At the beginning of his letters, Paul refers to himself as a servant of the Lord. Romans 1:1 begins, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus." Titus 1:1 begins, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ." Philippians 1:1 begins, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus." James begins his letter in James 1:1, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ." Peter begins the letter of 2 Peter in 2 Peter 1:1, "Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ." And Jude begins his letter in Jude 1, "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James." So like Samuel, Paul, James, Peter, and Jude, the psalmist is recognizing his humble position and referring to himself as the Lord's servant. Again, let's read this verse again. In verse 17 it says, "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word." In verse 17, the psalmist isn't selfishly asking for blessing and long life. He is asking for blessing and long life that he may live and keep God's word. So this brings us to our first subpoint, subpoint number one. What is the purpose of treasuring God's word as a servant? What is the purpose of treasuring God's word as a servant? Answer: the purpose of treasuring God's word as a servant is living humbly that we may live and keep God's word. In verse 18, the psalmist says to the Lord, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." This brings us to subpoint number two. How do we treasure God's word as a servant? We treasure God's word as a servant by praying Psalm 119:18 as we approach God's word, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Let me repeat that subpoint again, and I'm going to repeat that answer two more times because it's a little longer. So, subpoint number two, how do we treasure God's word as a servant? We treasure God's word as a servant by praying Psalm 119:18 as we approach God's word. open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. We treasure God's word as a servant by praying Psalm 119:18 as we approach God's word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. We are sinners. We need God to open our eyes in order for us to understand and apply God's word. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate God's word to us. James Montgomery Boyce said it like this: the Holy Spirit is given not to make our study unnecessary, but to make it effective. Remember when you were in school, did you ever think to yourself, why didn't God make us already full of knowledge so that we wouldn't have to go to school? Kids, do you ever think thoughts like that? I thought that all the time when I was in school. You could think the same thing about our sanctification and spiritual growth. However, that's not how God made us. God created us to learn and grow. There are no shortcuts to sanctification. I often pray for my spiritual growth, for the spiritual growth of my family, and for the spiritual growth of you, my church family. In praying this prayer, I'm not praying for instant spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is a process. It takes work. Spiritual growth takes spending time in prayer and actively reading and applying God's word. In praying this prayer, it is a short way of praying for the Lord to give me and us a desire for reading his word. And as we read God's word, it is a prayer that the Holy Spirit will illuminate God's word to us so that we can grow in our knowledge of him and apply God's word to our lives. So how do you approach God's word? Do you approach it out of duty? Do you read it out of obligation? Are you going through the motions when you approach God's word? Or do you approach God's word out of delight? Do you treasure God's word? Do you desire to grow in your knowledge of God and apply his word to your life? We should approach God's word humbly and expectantly. We should approach God's word out of a desire to hear from him for his glory and for our good. Verse 18 should be our prayer as we approach God's word. We could easily pray, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Do we see God's word as wondrous? Wondrous means inspiring a feeling of wonder or delight, marvelous. In speaking of beholding wondrous things from God's word, James Montgomery Boyce said, these treasures are wonderful in themselves. Wonderful because their source is in God. Wonderful because of what they do in us and for us. And wonderful because they are everlasting when everything else we know is rapidly passing away. After Jesus' resurrection, we see the account of two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. As they were walking, they were talking about all the things that had just taken place. Jesus joins them, but however, in verse 16 it says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. As they were walking, Jesus asked them what they were talking about. They, not knowing that it was Jesus, told him of Jesus' death and that they had hoped that Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. They went on to tell him of the account of the women at the empty tomb and of the angels who told them that Jesus was alive and of others who went to the tomb and found it just as they had said. Jesus explained to them that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, and he began with Moses and the prophets and interpreted to them all the scriptures of the things concerning himself. As they arrived at the village, he acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him to stay with them. Verses 30 through 32 of Luke 24 says, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures? As Jesus opened the eyes of these two disciples in Emmaus, the Holy Spirit can open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of God's word. Matthew Henry said it this way, we are by nature blind to the things of God,
till his grace caused the scales to fall from our eyes. And even those in whose hearts God has said, let there be light, have yet need to be further enlightened and must still pray to God to open their eyes yet more and more. That those who at first saw men as trees walking may come and see all things clearly. And the more God opens our eyes, the more wonders we see in the Word of God, which we saw not before. In verse 19, the psalmist says, I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. What is a sojourner? A sojourner is a temporary resident or traveler, someone who stays in a place for a period of time, but is not permanently settled there. Philippians 3:20 says, But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:11 says, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. This brings us to subpoint number 3. How do we treasure God's word as a sojourner? How do we treasure God's word as a sojourner? Answer. We treasure God's word as a sojourner, recognizing that this world is not our home, and with the hope of knowing that God cares for us. We treasure God's word as a sojourner, recognizing that this world is not our home, and with the hope of knowing that God cares for us. How often do we allow ourselves to be bogged down by the cares of this life instead of casting our cares upon the Lord? 1 Peter 5, 6-7 says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Instead of concerning ourselves with the cares of this life, we should focus our attention on the commandments of the Lord. Christopher Ashe said, I am a sojourner on the earth. I don't belong here. And to get me through my sojourn, my stay on earth, I need to know God's word. Matthew Henry said, I am a stranger, and therefore stand in need of a guide, a guard, a companion, a comforter. Let me have thy commandments always in view, for they will be all this to me, all that a poor stranger can desire. This brings us to main point number 2. We should delight in God's word at all times, no matter the circumstance. We should delight in God's word at all times, no matter the circumstance. In verse 20, the psalmist says, My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. What are we consumed by tonight? Are we consumed by circumstances? Or is our soul consumed with longing for God's ways and his word at all times, like the psalmist? Do we long for his word when we're tired, when we're frustrated? Do we long for his word when things aren't going our way? As Blake reminded us this morning, it's not a matter of if we will face pain and suffering, but a matter of when. Do we long for God's word when we are enduring pain and suffering? In verse 21, the psalmist says, You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Here we are reminded that God will rebuke those who are arrogant, rude, and disrespectful towards his word. God will take care of those who oppose him and reject his word. In verse 22, the psalmist says, Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. So not only will people oppose God and reject his word, but we as his people who desire to follow his word will also face opposition. Here the psalmist is praying that the Lord will remove from him those who look upon him with scorn and contempt for keeping God's word. In verse 23, the psalmist says, Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Princes here can be translated as powerful people. So here I'm reminded of the example of Jesus before the high priest, before Pilate, and before Herod. I'm reminded of the apostles before the high priest and the council in Acts chapter 5, And I'm reminded of Paul before the high priest, before Felix, before Festus, and before Agrippa. In the example of Jesus, the apostles in Acts 5, and the example of Paul, we see that when faced with charges and opposition, they didn't waver from meditating on God's word. In the case of the apostles in Acts 5, verses 41 through 42 says, "Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus." James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." In verse 24, the psalmist concludes this stanza by saying, Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." Do we delight in God's word? Is God's word our counselor? There is no wisdom or wise counsel apart from the foundation of God's word. Psalm 1, 1 through 2 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Psalm 37, 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now, this verse is often taken out of context. It's not speaking of material blessing, though God is certainly capable of that. Instead, it's saying that as we delight ourselves in the Lord and in his word, our desires will be aligned with him and his ways. Warren Wiersbe says it this way, "To enjoy the blessings and ignore the blesser is to practice idolatry. In Jesus Christ, we have all God's treasures and we need no other. If we truly delight in the Lord, then the chief desire of our heart will be to know him better so that we can delight in him even more, and the Lord will satisfy that desire." Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways." And Psalm 40, verse 8 says, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." So we began tonight by talking about treasure. Do we truly treasure God's word? Psalm 119:162 says, "I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil." As we treasure and delight in God's word, we will treasure and delight in God. We can't delight in God apart from delighting in God's word. And we can't delight in God's word apart from abiding in Jesus. Jesus said in John 15, 4 through 5, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Even a new believer who doesn't know much about God's word knows enough of God's word to delight in the gospel, which is man's fallen condition and need for a Savior, and Jesus' perfection in living that perfect and sinless life, dying on the cross for our sins, and rising again that we may be forgiven and have life in him. As we grow in our understanding of God's word, we must never lose sight of the gospel. As we close tonight, let us remember that we should treasure God's word as a servant and a sojourner, and we should delight in God's word at all times, no matter the circumstance. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that we can be called servants of God, Lord. We pray that we would humbly submit unto you and your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are sojourners, Lord. We thank you that this world is not our home. But we thank you that through your word, you tell us how to live in this world. And Lord, we thank you that we can delight in your word. We thank you that in your word we see that you care for us. Be with us in the rest of our time together. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.